Welcome to the Mentors Care Podcast. I'm Summer Backstrom, along with my co-host, Mentors Care founder, Dina Petty, and we love to talk to each other and to the amazing people that make up the Mentors Care family. What is Mentors Care? It's a nonprofit organization that matches adult mentors with students considered at risk of not graduating. The vision of Mentors Care is simple. One volunteer gives 1 hour, one time a week, to mentor one student. It's a proven formula with incredible and life-changing results. The conversations you'll hear are designed to educate and inspire others to join the Mentors Care movement. Now, enough of this standard open. Let's get to the good stuff on this episode of the Mentors Care Podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to the podcast. We're so glad you're listening. Summer here with our very own Dina Petty. Dina, how's it going today?
Oh, it's going great, Summer. Good to talk to you. Yes, I'm excited.
Our guest today is a well-known dynamic pastor and identifies as, quote, end quote, typical PK, meaning he was a typical preacher's kid who experienced the highs and lows of being the child of a pastor. He views every man as the prophet, priest, protector, and provider of today's family. He considers his wife of 22 years, Alexis, to be his anchor of support, and their three children, ages 10 through 18, have completely captured his heart. All, please welcome to the podcast, Pastor Mac of One Church, Pastor Demetrius D. McClendon, that is, Pastor Mac of One Church in Midlothian.
Pastor Mac, it is so good to talk to you again. How are you?
I am doing fine. My wife still likes me, and the kids are still responding to my voice, so I'm a happy camper.
And how is One Church?
One Church is doing great. We just turned 13 years old in January, and we're actually getting ready to break ground on our first building the 1st of June. So I'm totally excited. 13 years coming. The Lord's been really kind to us.
I'm so happy for you. I did not know that. That is very exciting. So you're going to have a big celebration and the public invited to come to this?
Yes. We're planning all of that now. So it's great times for us.
Well, make sure you let me know about that. I really want to know about that. Yeah. So
sure.
A lot of people are not aware that not only are you an amazing pastor, speaker, great father, great husband, you're a great musician.
Well, I try.
And my daughter was able to play with you at one time at one of our luncheons years and years ago. That was awesome.
Yes.
That meant a lot to us to have her up there and leading us in that way.
And her sweet voice.
Sweet. And little known fact, there is a burger place in Midlothian that has a burger named after you. How did that happen?
You know, I want to say it's not because I'm a nice guy. I was probably eating the burger too much. So they figured to keep me coming back, they put my name in front of it. But Brandon Burger, they're so kind. They named the steak burger Pastor Mac's favorite. So I don't know. And now my name is on it. Since they are franchised, every Brandon Burger has the same name up. So it's cool, but nobody knows who I am, so it doesn't really mean anything.
Everybody knows you. That's awesome. I love it. I'm trying to remember how we met, but it was in the early years when I first started at Midlothian High School in my little broom closet. And
yeah.
I believe you found out about it and reached out to me. Do you recall how you found out about Mentors Care?
It had to be through Chief Smith. It had to be through Carl. And so Carl, he gave me your number, or I just stopped by the library one day, and that's how it all began.
And tell people what you do with the police station and all the police officers and Chief Smith.
Well, at that time, I was a very active chaplain with the police department in Midlothian. I was one of the ones, along with Vernon Sampson. We started the police chaplaincy department division, rather, for the police department. I'm still active with it, but not as active because of other people that are involved, and you know, my interests have had to space out a little bit. But I still do ride-alongs and spend time. The chief and I have what we call mandates. So we go out and we just sit up and talk and all that. And I'm just loving on the city of Midlothian.
What an important thing that you're doing, too, because I know that the stresses on the police department men and women can be extreme, and how hard it is on their families. I mean, that's your passion, isn't it? Families.
Yes, ma'am.
And marriages.
Marriage and families, yeah. I have a strong heart's desire to see marriages remain healthy or get healthy. And it begins with the individuals being healthy, having good self-care for themselves. And so that's what I've tried to do in every aspect or opportunity that I have to minister to our church as well as to the community and to the county, is developing healthy people, balanced people.
So I'm going to ask a question that is, I think, going to be of interest to a lot of people. You felt very called to start a church in Midlothian, predominantly white neighborhoods. And you're a Black pastor. How did that happen? I love this. I love this story. And I really want you to share this. I think it's so cool.
Well, this is what happens when you try to live a life of obedience to the Lord. My wife and I were in Germany. I was doing a worship extravaganza there in Spengallen in Bitburg, Germany. And in my first week there, my Wednesday morning prayer, I hear clearly the voice of the Lord say, organize a church, name it one church, and put it in Midlothian. Now, I'm a smart guy. So I go to the search engine there in Germany, and I put in Midlothian, and all these places pop up, like Midlothian and Midlothio in Germany. I was like, oh, my God, we've got to go back home, go back to the States and get the girls and move to Germany. My wife was like, okay, hold on, settle down. And then after I settled down for a minute, we went back and Midlothian, Texas popped up. Now, the interesting thing is I've been living in Mansfield since we moved from Austin in 01. And I didn't know anyone in Midlothian, had never stopped in Midlothian. I think I've only driven through Midlothian one time going to Houston, just going a different route, driving over the new overpass. So I have a healthy dose of fear of the Lord in a reverent way. So I knew what the Lord was saying. So when we got back from Germany, when we returned, I just started driving around Midlothian, just praying. Like, Lord, I don't know what this is that you're telling me to do. I don't know who these people are. I have no connections here. And it's interesting, when I would speak to people, they were like, well, this is great. We don't have a Black pastor in Midlothian. I said, well, the Lord did not send me here to organize a Black church. This is His church. And whoever is meant to be here, that's who would be here. So I'm not looking for Black people. I'm looking for the people who will have to be a part of one church. So that's how it all began. And we have been, like I said, in Midlothian now for 13 years, sharing, loving on people.
You know, I think so timely right now with everything that's going on in the world. You know, race is such a sensitive issue right now, especially in America and just what has happened in the news recently. And it's a sensitive topic, but you and I are friends, different races,
yes, ma'am,
but the same. And
our blood is red.
Right. So we can talk about this. And
right.
And I feel like I can be open with you and talk to you about it. And I feel like you can be open with me and talk to me, but that's not true of everybody. And
right.
And here in Midlothian, Texas, United States, it doesn't matter. I know there's a lot of people that have a really hard time talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I believe it all begins with relationships. You and I have been knowing each other for a little over 12, going on 13 years now for sure. And so if two people that are of common faith and common thought cannot sit down and have a conversation, navigate through a conversation, then we'll never have a conversation. Because it all begins, especially with a sensitive topic as race, it all begins with relationships. And you would think that we're in a COVID season, that would be the topic that we're trying to work through. But no, these underlying issues that have not had a resolution will always resurface and pop its ugly head, and we will have to go back and deal with the things we have not dealt with. So the issue of race and discrimination, now let's be clear, it's going to be an issue until Christ comes. I'm a Christian, so it's going to be an issue until Christ comes, but there are some steps that we could take to make life a little bit more palatable for everybody so everyone can have the same access and the same provisions. I love talking about it because we are not going to get to another place until we start having the conversations. And especially now, after what we just experienced in Georgia, it just rears its ugly head once again that there is an issue of people feeling that they can do certain things for whatever reason. And as long as it's justified in my own head, then it's justifiable. You ought to understand. And that's not the case. That's not true, and that's not natural. And even for me, I'm writing an op-ed now, and I should be finished with it by Friday, entitled I Look the Part. Because after everything is said and done, no matter how many degrees I have behind my name, no matter how many people like me like me and all that, I still look the part. I have what I call five B's that are either working against me or they are a help. The first B is that I'm Black. I'm big. I'm bald. I have broad shoulders and I have a beard. So if two or three, any of those B's, if you already have some issues regarding race or whatever it is, you have already put me in a category without even hearing me talk, without even meeting me. And so I looked the part. Maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago. I was leaving the house, getting ready to come to do something in Lo, and my wife, she had a distressed look on her face. I was like, babe, what is wrong? What is going on? So I sat down like it was really something, you know, that I didn't know about. She's like, you don't really get it. I said, what? She says, every time you leave the house, I have to pray because you look the part. You look like any other guy that's walking up the street. And if someone thinks anything, whatever they want to think, they could do something to you just because you look the part. And so when this all happened again, a couple of, when it came about the thing in Georgia, still all just pressed my heart. You need to write about this because my context is different from a lot of people. I grew up in a happy home. My father, my mother just celebrated 49 years of marriage last week. And so I didn't know we were poor because I ate whenever I wanted to eat. So my life was good. Yet at the end of the day, I still looked the part and I have still had to deal with my life's issues of discrimination. As much as I love Midlothian, I remember me walking downtown and little old ladies grabbing their purse. I want to say, ma'am, if I wanted your purse, I would have taken it a long time ago. I don't want it. I probably have more cash than you do. So it's not, it's just the fact of people not working with their own issues about race, about manhood, and they put all that on other people. And so now I have to figure out how to deal with that because I'm called to an area. So no matter how I'm treated in the area, I don't want to be in trouble with the Lord. So I have to figure out, balance my life to say, how can I still minister to people that are fearful of me or that hate me?
You know, I can't understand completely that experience of what that feels like for a person that is Black or whatever. But I know that whenever I was homeless and living in my car, and I looked a little disheveled because I was homeless. I didn't have any money. And I remember people looking at me like, what did you, instead of compassion and wanting to help, they looked at me with those judgmental eyes.
Yes.
What did you do to deserve the situation you're in?
Right.
Instead of getting to know the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what mentoring is all about, is getting to know that person. If a student is angry, acting out at school, misbehaving, you got to get to know them and find out why.
There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. We are responders. And so typically we respond from what we have been told or how we have been treated. So when you hit a dog is going to respond to you pulling back your hand. You may not ever hit it again, but it's always going to second guess, well, why is that hand back? Well, human nature is the same thing. And until we diminish the value of ourselves and see the value in other people, we will never come to a compromising place and space to even hear what somebody has to say. All of us have a story. And I have to humble myself enough to say, okay, let me hear your story. There's a reason why you're looking at me like that. If you're willing to sit down, I don't drink coffee, but I drink tea. Let's have a glass of tea. Let's try to figure out what is our common denominator, and let's work through it. Larry Ashley and I, Larry's a local pastor in Midlothian. He actually is over the police department, the chaplaincy. So Larry and I have been walking together now specifically for about 4 years. We sat down 4 years ago and started having some hard conversations under the umbrella of race and reconciliation and all that. And so Larry is now one of my closest friends, but we have worked through some things. We have what we call nights of culture and conversations, where we invite people in and we have some hard conversations about the reality and how we as a community, how we're going to deal with it. But as wonderful as that is, there are some people that do not want to have the conversation.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
Well, it makes you really have to sit back and not only churn through what you have been taught, and a lot of us have been taught wrong, now you have to deal with the person that taught it to me. And so we have some things, especially in the evangelical church, that we continue to put out some bad information and we don't want to deal with our childhood pastor led us down this path, and the path he led me down is not the right path biblically, nor is the right path socially. And so I've got to deal with my old actions, deal with actions within my family that have been wrong. And sometimes it's a whole lot easier to walk away from it than to go back and deal with it. My dad told me there's a, you don't go in somewhere moving furniture. There's a grease stain from 74 that the couch is sitting over that grease stain for a reason. And some people don't want to expose those stains because now I've got to deal with not only the stain, but now the after effect, because that grease has gone now through the carpet, 3 or 4 generations of carpet and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to deal with it. But if we're going to progress, especially in this topic of race and reconciliation, we've got to deal with the stuff from our past, and people do not want to deal with it. And the sad part for me is that it is the church that is the most silent speaker among this stuff. And here we are with the truth of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet we are the most silent ones. The culture, they're coming together, having raising money, doing all kinds of things, but the church, those that have the voice, the authority, we are in a closet. We've grown dark silent, and that's a problem.
Because healing is hard work. It is hard work. I mean, you got to face that grease spot. You got to work on how do we get rid of this grease spot. You know, it might be you have to pull up the flooring. You know, there's a lot of work involved.
And start all over.
Actually, as we're talking about that healing, I'm looking at one church website, and I'm seeing it's called Relationship Rehab. And it looks like an offering through your ministry. Can you tell us a little bit about the Relationship Rehab?
Yes, ma'am. Relationship Rehab, our marriage ministry is called One Flesh. Two people coming together, becoming one flesh. And so we have what we call relationship rehabs at least once a quarter, where we bring couples in together, either married or engaged couples, and we work through a system of conversations and a system of titles. And so we have our first relationship rehab is actually this weekend. So we're not coming to the church, but we're doing it live on Facebook Live. So if you go to One Church, you'll be able to see the relationship rehab where my wife and I, and with some other couples, we'll just have discussions about specific topics, from communication to intimacy. What does romance look like for the 21st century Christian couple? All that. If you dare to ask the question, I will answer anything you ask. So we go through a lot of questions just because relationships are so key and important. Divorce is high. It's, matter of fact, higher within the church realm than it is in the social realm. And that's an issue. That is a concern. So we address topics and issues of that nature.
That's such a great offering. I'm just really impressed with that, because really that's where, at the end of the day, like Dina said, you know, you have to heal and you have to put the work in to heal. And, mm-hmm. you know, the majority of the people who are going to be visiting your churches are dealing with life struggles, and relationships are often the highest stress in the home, and you know, lack of communication and, you know, grudges and, you know, that kind of thing. And right. So it's just really awesome that you guys are addressing that directly, because it's one thing to sit there, you know, for 1 hour on a Sunday and be ministered to, and then another altogether, you know, to specialize and work on specific relationship issues. So kudos to you. That's great.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, and especially now, everyone is at home almost 24 hours a day. And we may love each other, but I don't like you. So how do I balance that during regular work hours? Can you stop walking in my office? Leave me alone. So how do you balance that? Plus now we're having to be fifth grade math teachers again. So what do I do with that? They changed. Algebra is not the same as it was when I was in college. So what do I do with this? So the balance of all that. And it's just good to bring couples together in a comfortable spot and just have a conversation.
So I love the fact that your church is being very intentional. And that's kind of the model that we have with mentoring, Mentors Care, is that we're very intentional about that relationship. I mean, we're going to double check everybody's schedules. We're calling and texting mentors to make sure that time is going to work for them that week, and students. And because it's not, the healing work is not going to happen just because we have good intentions.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you were a mentor for us. Can you share a little bit about your students and how it went for you as being a mentor?
Yes, ma'am. For sure. It has been a great delight for me to serve in that capacity. I've worked with you and worked with Sarah. And it's just been great. Everybody did not have the same background that I did. And I don't take it lightly at all. I don't shun it because that's my story, to have my parents both there. But everybody did not have that. So there is a piece in my world and all of our world where we have to realize we have to be willing to give back something. And if we can't give back an hour in our week, then we're just too doggone busy. And so me scheduling out that hour was absolutely wonderful, phenomenal, because those young men that I've had the chance to walk with, some of them, just to be honest, I've never seen a black man that was not walking in with his pants hanging down. They had never experienced that. And as much as in my area, that's the norm, I'm like, it's not a big deal. They're like, oh, wow, so what's your name again? And then I mess around and have a shirt on that was a tailor-made shirt. That's a shirt. You had a shirt made just for you? And I'm looking like, what is the big deal? What are those letters on you? Those are my initials. Things that I take for granted. They've never seen before. And to walk with them through the small things of life, of just how do you walk in a room, man? You don't have to be the loudest person in the room. Just because of your silence and your presence speaks enough. So building that character within them, allowing them to know that their identity is perfect the way God wired them. So it's been great. Now, I've had some tough characters now.
Yes, you have.
I had to speak to them on the level that they will understand. But it's been great because here's the deal, Dean. I'll say this and I'll stop talking because I can talk a whole lot. It's not just me mentoring them. It's them mentoring me also. And if we don't come to a position like that to see that it's not all about me as the adult pouring into them, then we're really missing the moment. There's a multiplicity of things that I learned from them. If it was nothing, just some new common vernacular that the kids are using. So I have to address the issue that it's not just me pouring in, I'm getting something from them too. And so that allowed me to address, no matter what they smell like, what they look like, for me to come to the table with a sense of humility, because it's an opportunity to sit with God's child.
Well, I know that you impacted them for the rest of their life. Even if you didn't get to see the what we call success of walking down the aisle and graduating, you know, you had an opportunity to speak truth into that young man that they'll remember the rest of their life. And I've always said that even if they're very unaware, because teenagers are at a selfish time, but it'll be later on, they're going to recall that nice man that met with me, that took time with me, and they'll go, wow, that was really cool, and I didn't realize it at the time. I really believe that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. For sure. And it would be so funny because let's say one of my daughters would call, and they're like, well, who are you talking to? I said, that's my daughter. Your daughter calls you, you answer the phone? Of course. I don't care who I'm in a meeting with. If my child calls, my wife calls, you have to be quiet. Oh, man. Well, my dad don't even answer the phone when I call him. I said, listen, every person has their own reasons for doing what they do. You make sure you're – so it's just a great moment to let them know that whatever your circumstances are or have been, it can change. It can get better.
So just to wrap up our time, I cannot thank you enough for this. And the time flew. You're just so special to me. To my family, my husband has a bromance with you. He loves you.
Yes.
And
love me some time.
And just thank you so much for answering that call and coming to our community. You've been such a treasure for everybody that knows you. So thank you.
You make an old man smile, Dina, I tell you.
Thank you. Thank you for being a part of Mentors Care. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. And I know it's going to be very impactful for a lot of people. Thank you so much.
It was so great meeting you, Pastor Mike, over the phone today and Zoom. You know, we had our little Zoom issues, but it was so great to put a face with a name and
yes, ma'am.
Finally have someone to, you know, an interaction with you so I can associate, you know, when Dina sings your praises. I mean, she's just one of your biggest fans. And she was so excited to have you on the show because she said it was going to be, you know, a blast. And it has been. I mean, you're just hilarious. You've got a great nature and, you know, you're doing great things to change the community around you and improve lives. And that's wonderful. And so I just want to thank you myself for having made time for us to be on the show today.
Yes, ma'am. It was a pleasure to have met you, Summer. And Dina, you know, I love you. I've said this off air, so I can say it on air. I love you. Thank you so much for what you're doing in our area, in our county, impacting these kids. And I pray God's strength over you. that he will continue to bless you and keep you, that his grace will shine upon you, be gracious to you, give you more ideas, and give you more opportunities to show his love to the next generation.
Thank you, Pastor Matt.
Yes, ma'am.
To learn more about One Church, visit www.discoveronechurch.org. Please subscribe to the Mentors Care Podcast with Dina Petty. To learn more about our high school mentoring program, visit mentors.care. We'll see you next time.